I don't know about you all, but I was thinking of the words to that song, and there was one part in there, I'd heard it before, of course, but part that says, what a time he's planned up there. Have you ever really thought about that? Of course we have, but sometimes we naturally get excited about plans to be with family or friends or whatever, at a particular function, it can get exciting. You're anticipating, you kind of know what to expect in a sense, and sometimes maybe the unexpected happens, but yet you know you're going to have a good time because it's folks that you love and enjoy being around. But how much more to think about heaven and what a time he's planned up there for us. That kind of gets me excited. That's not what my message is on tonight, but I just had to share that little tidbit that heaven is worth getting excited for. All the wondrous things he has planned for us, and it'll take eternity. You know, that's forever. It is without end. It'll never stop. It'll take eternity just to enjoy everything God has prepared for us up there. I'm thankful for that tonight. I have a little thought, a little burden tonight. I guess you could say it's somewhat an instructional message and practical applications. I'll write the title on the board. Actually part of a scripture, and we'll read it later, a familiar scripture we all know, and I have written just part of it, that all things work together for good. So in one sense you could say that statement alone is not necessarily true, because you got to read the whole statement or the whole scripture. There is some conditions there, but I want to just focus on this part alone. You'll understand why here after a while. Well, consider this. I heard a quote somebody said not too long ago that said, use time as a tool and not as a crutch. Now think about that for a moment. In other words, use time, work with it. Work with it. Don't allow time to work against you. We'll get into more of that later. And don't use it as a crutch. As in an excuse. Well, examples are, I just didn't get around to it. How many times have we all said that and experienced that? Just kind of let something slide and no big deal, really. And another opportunity comes up. Didn't work out. Why did it not work out? You didn't allow time for it. You didn't put some effort forth or plan for it or whatever the case was. You see, time can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Think about that for a moment. I'll give you some literal examples. And no doubt many of us can relate to this. We'll just think of it this way. The growing season is right around the corner. Spring is right around the corner. We'll have some rains come, hopefully, and some more sunshine, warmer days, and things are going to start growing. But you know, there's something that those that own any type of sizable amount of property know this one fact. That if you don't keep on top of your mowing, your weed eating, your bush hogging, your tree trimming, your flower beds, all those things, if you don't keep on top of them year round, they will get away from you. there are things that you can do, yes, in the wintertime, when you don't have all the extra vegetation in the way, that's a good time to start clearing brush, clearing fence rows, and all those things that they don't get out of hand that way. I remember in particular, when we first moved to the place where we're at now, the ditches along the road. I didn't really pay much attention to them. And Grandpa had kept them pretty well under control. And the first year or two, I didn't even pay them much attention at all. And come to find out, it was much to my detriment. Because you see, I started mowing the fields there in the large yard. Before that, Grandpa just had cattle out there, and it wasn't so much of an issue. But I cleaned it off one time and just left it and never really tended to it. And after a couple of years, you realize it grew up well over my head. And it's about as far as I can reach. That's hard to fathom because now it's not that way. But at one time, you couldn't see any cars that would drive by. You could just hit it. It was just a mass amount of weeds and grass just growing up. But part of the reason was the way we mowed, or I mowed at that time, it shot all the clippings right into the ditch and just helped kept it plentifully supplied with extra seeds and weeds and of all kinds of things, and it just took off. But I've learned that I use time as a tool, as in every opportunity I go whittle it down as much as I could, as often as I could, to keep it in check. So that's one example. But there's other things. How many times perhaps you've looked back in your life and realized we've all had these occasions. I mentioned earlier about the course keeping track and pruning and cutting things and keeping on top of them. And you're glad you did that. But then there's other times when maybe we didn't keep on top of things. And we regretted that. We regret those things. But then let's turn to something perhaps more critical or important. Let's consider relationships for a moment. Perhaps you've looked back in your life and you think of some time you spent with loved ones or friends or other saints or whatever, and you're so glad you took the opportunity to talk with them, to work with them, to receive counsel from them, or whatever the case is, or maybe to share and encourage and help them. It goes both ways. And you're so grateful for that. And perhaps some of those loved ones are now gone. Some of those saints are now gone. You're like, I'm so glad I took some time and opportunity to do that. But no doubt some of us have been on the other side of that. And we look back and we think, I wished I would have spent some more time. I thought about doing it and I planned to do this and that and that. And something else happened and it just didn't work out. It just didn't happen over and over. And then maybe they pass away or they move off or whatever. And no more opportunity. It's gone. We've all had those type of things. But I want us to consider this, that God in His infinite wisdom allows us space to be human. He allows us space to fail. He allows us space to stub our toe. We're not robots. He doesn't force us to do anything. So therefore, we are free moral agents. He's not going to force us to make that phone call or make that visit or go cut the grass over there or cut those limbs over there, do all those things and regular maintenance of life, whatever the case is. God doesn't force us to do anything. We choose, you see. But that also leaves a responsibility then upon our shoulders. And to understand that we are accountable for each other? No, we're accountable for ourselves, for our own actions or lack of actions. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 9, and there's two scriptures I want to read here, familiar ones we've heard. I want to read them in reverse order, actually. I want to read verse 11 first. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You know, the word of God is so absolutely true. It is so accurate. Because in life, sometimes we look around us and we judge ourselves and compare ourselves, even though we're not supposed to, but yet we do in our minds sometimes, and look at others and we look at their success and we're like, well, they're so successful. Everything they touch turns to gold. Everything works out perfectly and beautifully for them. And you're thinking, well, it's not fair. It's not working that way for me, maybe right now. But then you look at others and it seems like everything just falls apart in their life. And you're thinking, what's going on? It's just terrible. They catch every disease or every sickness or every one of their loved ones are dying or whatever. And it's just everything's falling apart and they lose their job and whatever. But yet the scripture says time and chance happeneth to them all. You know what that means? We are all saved and unsaved, even those out in the world that aren't saved. Everything, time and chance happeneth to them all. As the scripture says, the rain falleth on the just and the unjust. That God in His absolute fairness and His absolute, not only is He fair, He's just. In everything that He does and everything that He allows everyone the same opportunity. Yes, the same opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, to stub our toe, to do things incorrectly, to procrastinate, to put things off, and to have regrets that, why did I do that? Or I should have, you know. But there's also the opportunities to take advantage of things, to put things in order, and to improve upon things. You see, God allows things. He allows adversities to come our way, but it's not to crush us. It's not to run us off. It's not to discourage us. But God wants those things to be used as stepping stones. To be used for our good, you see. To be used for us to mature. To be established. To be rooted and grounded in the Lord. To grow in every aspect. Well, then on the other hand, you know what the devil will do? When adversity comes, when challenges come, and when maybe we've stubbed our toe or we have some regrets or adversity, whatever the case is, and we're looking back and we're thinking, or maybe we're looking out there and we're like, you know what the devil will do? He'll try to get us to think that, well, life's just not fair, you know, or it's as if they've got an edge on me over there, or God's just not really caring for me like I wish He would, or whatever the case is. And the devil would love for us to look at our, if I could say, disadvantages sometimes, and to focus on those things to the extent where we allow them to be a crutch. We allow them to be an excuse. Well, I couldn't because of this, or I couldn't because of that. Wherein God would rather us to have this attitude. Now I want to read verse 10 above, Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. You understand what that's saying? It's saying, get up and get busy. Not talking about being a busybody. You see, here's the challenge. Because we are all human in this regard. We all have different personalities, and I'm glad we all are different. Because that keeps life interesting. If we were all the same, life would be boring. But everyone has different personalities. Let me give you an example. There are some people that are very aggressive in their personalities. They get an idea or a thought to go out and do something, they're on it. You watch out. They get a bee in their bonnet and they're gone. You can't even keep up. Wait. Oh no, I don't know. They're on a mission. They're going to get something done. Then you have the others that think about something and they think some more and then they'll think some more and then they'll actually take a few attempts or steps at getting something done and then they'll think about it some more. You see, pretty passive, just nonchalant, you know, but they're thinking and they're thinking very thoroughly, you see. And they're thinking things through. They're thinking of all the conditions, all the wherefores or whys, and what if this happened? And planning this way and planning that way. And I'm giving some extremes here, but I hope you understand my point. The reality is, we need all of that, okay? And the reality is, God wants us to do as the Scripture says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That God can use those areas as strengths. And we use those things for God's glory, and we use it according to His Scriptures. Say, well, God, if you want me to do this, I'm going to do it. And at the whole time, seeking God's advice and His input. But the point is here, the devil would love to use those things as tools to destroy us or to hinder us. As in, to get us off center, you see what I'm saying? Or kind of off track. Because believe me, we can get way ahead of the Lord and really mess things up. But we can also get way behind the Lord and mess things up too, you see. But the point is, Lord, help us to find that balance, okay? The Scripture says to be temperate in all things. I think part of that can apply to our personality traits. I'm not saying to change our personalities, but we can say, Lord, I'm realizing a pattern here. I'm looking at my life, and I'm having some regrets now. And you know what? The Lord can whisper to you, well, maybe you need to slow down a little bit and allow me to work. You see what I'm saying? Or God may whisper to us, well, maybe you need to speed up a little bit and catch up with me. You see what I'm saying? Only God can do that. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. We can do that for our children to try to train them. But when we become adults, we're accountable for ourselves. You see? We're accountable to God. And God is saying, whatever you find to do, do it with your might. Don't go into life haphazard. And I'll say it honestly and openly here tonight. It is very easy for those that maybe are more passive in general to approach even the spiritual things passively as well. But God is saying, whatever you find to do, do it with your might. Get your heart into it. Mean something by your action. Prove that you love God by your actions and your words and your consistency. Put something into it, you see. And don't allow the devil to come by and say, well, things didn't work out because of all these other things. Excuses. When reality, we need to be hard on ourselves sometimes. You know, that's one of the things about truth is being honest with ourselves. Be like David. Come before the Lord and say, Lord, search me. What's going on here? Why is this not working out? Or why is that? I'm having these challenges, these difficulties, these adversities everywhere I turn. And let me tell you something. If we are honest with ourselves and honest with God and say, Lord, search me. What's going on here? Do I need to change something? Do I need to speed up, slow down, just wait for you, whatever it is? God has the answers. I can't give you the answers for your individual circumstances in your lives. I want to tell you this. God has the answer. I'm confident of that. I want to use two quick examples. I won't dwell on them very long. But remember Job? Of course we do. You know, in the end, Job, it could have turned out totally different. And by that, I want to say this. You know, towards the end, after Job had lost everything and his friends came, his so-called friends, and actually were more of a burden to him, kind of drug him down and accused him of things and weren't too much of a friend to him. But anyway, you know, in the end, Job actually got honest with himself and with God. And he got to a position where he wasn't asking God these questions and trying to shift it on God. Well, God, why did you know? But he was honest and he realized, you know what? You created everything. You created me. You've given me time and opportunity to serve you. You've allowed these things for a reason. You've allowed these friends, so-called friends, to come and actually chide me and reprove me, and not much of a comfort, you know, but you've allowed that. And you know what? In the end, where Job was able to make some progress, and where he started growing in his spirit and in his soul and his mind, is when he was able to sit down, if I could say it that way, and actually pray for those so-called friends. You could say they were enemies, really. And pray for them. Say, Lord, help them. And at the same time, was willing to be open, honest with God and say, God, and I'm just putting words into Job's mouth here in a sense, you've allowed this. But he didn't close up that avenue and that communication with God. He left the channel open. You see, here's the deal. When we feel hurt by someone, whether it's a friend, a family member, someone in the church, someone on the job, or whether it's even God, do you know what the automatic reaction is when we've been hurt by someone? It's, don't want to hear it. Nope. You want to push them out of your life. You want to cut off all communication. Nope. That hurt. You know, that's what was mentioned earlier. We make ourselves vulnerable to someone and then they hurt us and you just want to, nope. But you know, Job didn't do that. He kept the channel open. And yes, he poured his heart out, even was just honest with the Lord and, you know, asking him different things and kind of challenging him this and way. But yet he never charged God foolishly, you see. He still had a heart to serve God. And he's willing to pray for his enemies and say, Lord, help me. And kept that communication line open, you see. And here's what was happening. He was allowing God to work in his life. Allowing God to work and do some surgery, spiritual surgery on his heart. Allowing God to tweak him a little bit there. Make some adjustments. And allowed him to see things clearly as God would have him to. And then that's when God dumped, if you could say, a double portion upon Job. And made the latter end of Job much greater than the beginning. Isn't that amazing? Only God can do that. But he's only going to do it with a heart that is humble before him. Keeping that channel, that avenue open before God. Being honest with ourselves and honest with God. And allowing time to work for our good, you see. And use it as a tool to allow God to work on us. And yes, it may take a while. Well, another story in the Bible. Remember Judas Iscariot? The one that sold Jesus, basically. Was it for 30 pieces of silver? I think is what it was. You know, that's really pretty cheap. Back then, that was a lot of money. I don't know what that is equivalent to in modern day American dollars, but it was quite a bit of money back then. But you know, in the end, or right before the end, Judas was rather disappointed in his so-called friends, you know, the ones that helped out the situation, that paid him off, you know, the ones, the Jews, and the high priest, the Pharisees, whoever it was there that paid him off. So yeah, you go, you know what he did with that money? Just dumped it. Like, no. Realizing with much regret, realizing then what he had done. You know, sadly though, it didn't turn out as well with Judas as it did with Job. Because Judas did not allow time to work in his favor. Judas took time into his own hands. Literally. He became judge of his own destiny. Literally. He took control of things by himself. You see, Job allowed God to take control. God had to get him pretty low before he would. And he finally let it all go. Said, okay, God, I'm as low as I can get now. And then he could pray for his enemies. And then God blessed him. He allowed time to work for him. He allowed God to work for him, ultimately. But Judas, it didn't turn out so well. Took things into his own hands. The scripture says in Proverbs 3, just slipped my mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You see, Judas was leaning to his own understanding because he was looking at his failure, his absolute glaring failure there, and so upset with himself, so upset with his so-called friends, threw it down and ran off and took his own life. So upset. He could not even forgive himself. You see? You know, the devil would like for us to get in that same predicament. We've stubbed our toe. We made a failure. We have some regrets. We didn't allow God to work as we should have. And then we can look back and say, oh, and just run off and mess everything up, just like Judas did. But yet, God has given us time. God has given us the opportunity. God has given us the ability, the understanding, the comprehension of the scriptures that He's given us, that if we lean not in our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of our heart, you see, then He can work things for our good. Then He can bring things like, how many of y'all have ever put together big jigsaw puzzles? No doubt we've all had our turn at it. I saw one recently that was rather unique and quite a challenge. This jigsaw puzzle was in the shape of a horse. There were no square sides. You know, sometimes life can be like that. Not only is it just all squiggly lines and like nothing's making sense, but then it can have these curvy outlines. It's like, it looks impossible, but I want to tell you something. It is possible. You know how? It's going to take, as we read earlier, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, even if it's one little tiny piece at a time. It can be done. The scripture again says, all things work. You know, for things to work, it takes time. We live in a day and age, it's instant gratification. I want something done right now. That's the mindset, the worldly mindset. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't necessarily work that way. He may occasionally. And yes, He has healed people instantaneously. But you realize most of the healings take time. Most of the miracles take time. All those things that we pray about, it takes time for them to work together, you see. The together part is, it's so easy to skip over that. Because God is putting all these other little pieces and all these other things in place. Then in the end, it'll be a beautiful image. It'll be something that makes sense and it works, you see. But it takes time. Just like that jigsaw puzzle, to put all those little pieces together, and we can't do it on our own. I can promise you that. Just try it sometime with a jigsaw puzzle. Just knock all the pieces out, and you have no idea what it is in the end. There's no instructions, there's no image to look at. You know how many pieces they are. Just dump a whole bunch of pieces, and just see how long it would take you to do that. But we have something that we can use as a reference, as a tool, the Word of God. You see, these stories I was telling about Job and Judas and Peter and all those others, Apostle Paul, we have these tools These references we can use as examples that, you know what? God did work things together for their good. Because they allowed God to work, you see. And the real proof of the pudding is, let's turn to read that scripture. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, that's the key. Because if we don't love the Lord, do you think we're going to trust and confide in Him? Do you think we're going to wait on Him? Do you think we're going to give Him both ends of the string, so to speak, to untie that tangled knot? If we love the Lord, we're going to give it all to Him. All the messes, all the great regrets, all the challenges, all the adversities, all the afflictions, all of our burdens, all of our confusions, the everything about it, the misunderstandings, the everything. If we love someone, we're talking about God here, if we love God enough, we're going to give all of that to Him. And in the end, He will work all things together for our good. He will complete the puzzle. There's a reason why puzzles are called puzzles. Because we can't figure it out. At least for a long time. But I want to tell us something. It's a truth that God got across to me several years ago. It's in Isaiah. I'm not going to turn and read the scriptures. But just refer to them. And it's talking about spiritual precepts and laws. And our living for God and our understanding all those things. That, you know, we don't understand everything all at once like that. It's a progression. It's a growth. It takes time. It takes some effort. Laziness does not cut it. Half-heartedness does not cut it. We have to jump in head first. And prove that, you know, this is something. But the scripture referring to is talking about line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. One little piece at a time in that little jigsaw puzzle. One little piece at a time. One piece a day. Two pieces a day. Whatever it is. One little baby step a day. But it's progress. It's growth. You see? That's when God can start taking those things in our lives that seems like it may all be a mess. And He can start putting them together to form this beautiful picture, this beautiful image. That in the end, as the scripture says here, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Number one, to love Him. But number two, that love, that life that we live would bring glory to His name. And how else can He bring glory to His name? That is by us proving our love in return to God and allowing Him to work all things together for our good. That takes some spiritual maturity. That takes someone owning up to themselves, being honest with themselves, say, you know what? I've not always done it right. And may I misunderstood that, and I should have. But you know what? By God's grace, I'm going to do better. And we get up. And we press on. The scripture says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know what? That man will not be defeated. That woman, that sister, that brother, they will not be defeated because they get right back up. I've used this little illustration before, but I remember years ago when I was a little boy playing with I don't know what these toys are called, but it's a little plastic thing that airs up, and there's a weight at the bottom of it, and you can punch it, and it goes poing, and then it bounces right back up like that. In any direction you punch it, just keeps coming back up. You know, that's the little vision I got of a true saint of God. Satan may come along and bam, 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 knock them over, and they keep popping right back up. They're allowing God to work all things together for good. And even when it hurts, even when it doesn't make sense, you're like, what did I do to deserve that punch, so to speak? Allow God to work. Allow God to move. Allow God to soften your heart and to mold and shape you into something that's beautiful, that glorifies Him. Again, allow God to work all things together for our good. You pray for me that I would do the same.